Terrified spectators go tumbling off a malfunctioning escalator. The chaos erupted at a Philadelphia Flyers hockey game. Video shows fans piling one into another at the bottom of the escalator, which for some reason had sped up without warning. 23-year-old Megan McGreevy caught the mishap on her cell phone.
We happened to pass by this escalator that was carrying a bunch of people, and all of a sudden we heard it rev up, kind of like it was going faster and faster. A lot of people were jumping over the edges of the escalator, and there was people just piling on each other at the end. So it was pretty crazy.
Accidents like these happen more often than you'd think. 11,600 escalator injuries were reported last year alone. In 2011 at a Washington, D.C. metro station, this escalator suddenly sped up, sending passengers tumbling down. Overseas, this escalator reversed for no reason, sending passengers flying backwards. This woman from China lost her life when a metal panel collapsed under her, pulling her into the gears. Other injuries are due to riders losing their balance and falling. Shoes can get caught inside the escalator. Also, watch out for shoelaces. Patrick Carr is an escalator safety expert.
How safe are escalators?
Not as safe as elevators. Elevators are a lot safer. We're talking about a lot of big equipment moving at high speed with a tremendous amount of thrust. It's been estimated that the thrust of escalators can be as much as a jet plane taking off.
While there's not much you can do if you're on an out-of-control escalator, if you happen to witness one, there is something you can do to help. Press the emergency stop button, which is located at the bottom and the top of each escalator.
Information that could have been useful over the weekend for these hockey fans.
You know, escalators scare me, folks. You know, you have to go escalators, elevators. I don't like those things, man. But, you know, New York has so much high-rises and stuff. You got no choice but to use these things, man. Scary situations. CD91, live on your iTunes, your iOS, your Android, Podomatic.com, David Robinson at Blogspot.com, Tyler Kwan at your-poetry.com. Don't forget the YouTube channel. And we are also on SoundCloud. My name is JDR. I'll be your host. So have a little fun, man. I'm just, you know, I'm thinking about escalators. You know, once I got part of my jacket got caught up in an escalator, and I was kind of in a panic for a second, but I had to get it together just so I could get the jacket out, you know, from the railing part. It's scary, man. Scary things. You never know what an escalator is going to do. Elevator. Anyway, sit back, relax, and enjoy.
We had these cages specially built. And so I'll go a little lower. So basically, this is the catch tray. So when the dogs go to the bathroom, it falls through the grate. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't fall through immediately, when they walk around, they pound it through.
Right.
So, and we always have pine shavings in there. So even though the driver's not here, we still like to keep the odor down for the animals.
Yeah.
So every tray is lined with pine shavings. And the bowls are tip-proof so that we know, you know, their water and food won't spill out. Unless the van is tilted on an angle, as it was. Then a whole lot of water is going to spill out, and food. So, but they're all safely clipped in. So what we do, there's a door between the... So when it's cold, the driver never opens this door to let the cold air in on the animals. So he just comes through the cabin door when he has to feed and clean the puppies. And this way they're never exposed to the cold air. There's a propane tank always mounted somewhere, and a heater similar to this going. Like I said, that's the heaters we use. We have to keep them on the lowest settings. Even the one at night, it had to be on the lowest settings because the van is so well insulated and it's so small. And you also have the body heat of the animals. So if you have 60 animals, you know, they're throwing off body heat, and then that has to be on the lowest setting. Otherwise, it gets dangerously warm, you know, where it can get way too warm for them. They all have a fresh air vent. That vent pulls in and out, so when they're driving, they could be sucking air out. That's, again, for, like, odor control if you wanted, or you could pull fresh air in. The other vent also had a fresh air vent on the side. And even if you're in here now, you can see this thing's been running. They're called vent-free units. So there's no danger to humans, there's no fumes. It's designed to run without any fresh air, but we have a fresh air vent anyway. You can see there's no odor to it, no odor to the propane, and it just gives a safe, warm, you know, warm glove.
Let me tell you something, folks. This guy is so full of crap. I don't know if you've seen this. It was on the news with this guy. It was on a couple of stations, I think CBS and NBC. And you take a look at the van. First off, when I go to an ASPCA van or I go to any other kind of van, whether it's North Shore Animal League or some of these other organizations, you don't see a propane tank in the van. I mean, if anything happens with that propane tank, you've just killed 60 animals. Now, he has 60 dogs and cats in this van. It's one of those what I kind of call like a high-rise Mercedes van. You know, those big Mercedes vans. It's one of those things. He's got these cages in there where they have to be puppies and kittens because there's no... the height of the cages. I mean, it may be at best... I'm going to say 12 to 15 inches. That's not enough to put a dog at. He's got 60 animals in this thing and has some sort of weird heater. The guy has 259 citations for animal cruelty. That he is even still in business. Vincent Lasacco, that's his name, it's beyond me. I don't get it. You know? I mean, he has 259 citations. Why is he still in business? I do not understand. He should be out of business and never be allowed anywhere in the country to ever open up a pet store operation or, you know, sell dogs and cats as if they were stolen goods out of the back of a truck. That's ridiculous. You ever see the ASPCA? They usually have generators. They'll come with a van, what do you call those things? With an RV. And here's this idiot with maybe a Mercedes van or something similar. But he has the propane tank inside. He has these tiny cages in there, and he has 60 plus animals inside this thing. This dude has absolutely no heart whatsoever. It is all about making money. And he should not in any way be allowed anywhere across the country to ever dabble again in selling an animal. He should be constantly checked up on. If you find an animal in his house, take it away. God, I can't stand crap like that. CD91 on your iTunes, your Android, and your iOS. I shall return. With the meaning of life, it's a non-stop fixation which causes a derangement of thoughts in my mind. My mind falls into a vertigo of moon madness, which is not so easy to shake off. Suddenly fear builds within the walls of my mind, and the thoughts turn into images of a horrible death. Toxic bridges, burning planes, the thought continues to become of even more insane. I begin to wonder if the medication is to blame, or has it all simply become a dull game? I seem to focus on all the wrong things. Life is okay once you get into the swing. Life is okay once you get into the swing. Life is okay once you get into the swing. Get into the swing. Get into the swing.
Didn't let this slide. A flight attendant activated the emergency slide after the plane landed in Houston. You can see her toss out her bag and then slide down the chute.
That's insane. Why?
That we don't know, and many of the passengers didn't even know it happened.
When we landed, we were told to stay in our seats, as deplaning would take a bit longer.
CNN affiliate KPRC says the flight attendant's family told them the woman is doing well and it's a private family matter. United says she's no longer employed there. The last time a flight attendant did this, it was a far more flamboyant exit. Who could forget Stephen Slater? He got fed up after getting cut by a JetBlue passenger's oversized bag. He commandeered the intercom.
To the expletive that told me to expletive off.
Slater grabbed a couple of beers to take with him and activated the chute.
I was just thinking, I'm free. I'm finally free. But I got to the bottom and this just wonderful warm sunlight was out there and I just felt this. I felt unencumbered and a weight off my shoulders.
He was immortalized in song. As for those emergency slides, they've been sliding places they shouldn't be. This one deployed inside the plane, forcing an emergency landing 2 years ago. And this one fell off a jumbo jet last month and landed in a Mesa, Arizona front yard.
It was just a loud bang, and then the house actually shook.
Passengers keep opening the emergency exit, thankfully, before takeoff. A man aboard this China Southern plane opened the door hoping to get some fresh air, thinking the lever opened a window. And a first-time flyer in China mistook the exit for a restroom. Oops. No wonder flight attendants get a kick out of this T-shirt. I understand this is not a lavatory, unless, of course, it's the flight attendant opening the door. Genimo, CNN, New York.
You know, I have to... give these flight attendants a little credit, you know. I mean, when you have to deal with people, listen, when I worked in LaGuardia, and even though I only worked at like 6 months, but that's all it took, you have to see people that get on planes, man. They take priority, kick the shoes off, lay all over the floor. They become disgusting individuals. You know, they're working out because they got to wait on their flight. They're clipping their fingernails or toenails. I mean, seriously, you know, they're changing their diapers and the kids and stuff, and the kids are running, and it is just ridiculous. And the same character they bring on to the plane. You know, I don't know what it is about airplanes. Maybe it's the altitude or something like that. But I mean, I've flown, you know, a couple of times in my life, but I just don't understand how people can just be so inconsiderate. You know, I mean, they just become disgusting animals when they're getting on a plane. Not everyone now. You know, you got celebrities, you got people that know how to handle themselves. But you just, you know, there was a thing on the news where they showed the picture of this one person's seat, and the seat before them, right in front of them, the girl that was sitting in the seat had her ponytail over the back of the seat. So now you got a ponytail sticking in your face. They showed one guy that was laid out with that put his feet up on the seat, you know, before him, and he didn't have any shoes on or socks. I'd have broken his feet. I'm serious. You know what I mean? How dare you? And they really, people that fly take privilege, and I don't understand what that is about. I don't get it. You know, it's as if once they enter the airport, it's like, okay, it's a free for all. It's really weird. Anyway, you're listening to CD91 Complaint Department on your iTunes, your Android, and your iOS on Podomatic.com. David Robinson at blogspot.com, Tawakwan at your-poetry.com, the YouTube channel, and we're also on SoundCloud. And I shall step back in, hopefully, a little bit later.
This is the dark side. This is the dark side. This is the dark side. This is the dark side.
find something. You might not see nothing. You're supposed to be visible. You might not see anything, but you go hunting, like bounty hunting for an arrest. Locking up some old guy, some homeless guy, finding somebody who's riding a bicycle on the sidewalk, who's spitting, and you bring him in.
The problem is when you go hunting, when you pull any type of numbers on a police officer to perform, we are going to go to the most vulnerable.
The most vulnerable.
Of course. We're going to go to LGBT community. We're going to go to the black community. We're going to go to those people that have no vote, that have no power. If we start doing what we're doing in Midtown Manhattan, a phone call to the mayor's office is going to be made. That's going to be the end of it.
We're the predators, they're the prey. The worst thing you can have is a police officer that needs an arrest for the month.
So you're all minorities. How does that make you feel?
It's horrible.
This is something coming from the top that trickles its way down, and this is why we're all here today.
We first interviewed Officer Edwin Raymond last month. He says he's been recording conversations with NYPD officials for the past 2 years in an effort to prove alleged quotas and retaliation against cops who don't rack up numbers.
They're breaking the law.
Raymond's claims elicited this expletive from the police commissioner.
Bullshit is my response to that.
The commissioner insists his policies are focused on the quality of arrests and summonses, not the quantity, the officer's attorney.
Is the commissioner lying?
Yes. Commissioner Bratton is lying.
How can you prove this?
I can prove it with testimony, with recordings, with documents.
All he wants us to do is go out there and lock them up. They told us it's easier to get numbers out here because you work in this type of community.
Are you arresting for stuff that you shouldn't be arresting for?
Well, that's why we're here. We don't do it. We refuse. And because of that, we are retaliated against.
Because you're not harassing people. You're being punished. You know? And it doesn't make for a great work environment. Because they want you to harass people.
The lawsuit claims minority officers are punished more severely than white cops for failing to meet quotas. The city denies it.
And the community are suffering the most.
Because?
Because the pressure. Because the quota. Because the police department is like a whore pretending to be a lady. Well, that's what they are.
Are you worried? You know, this is a big step to come forward like this.
It's not easy. It's not easy. We are the enemies. We are the people that nobody talked to. The culture of the department, we are the rats. That's how they call us. We are the rats that speak out. It takes a lot of guts from a rat to stand where we stand, knowing that our career are basically over the second we speak against such a mafia, because the police department is a mafia. It's a big organized mafia.
Again, the police commissioner declined to go on camera to address the allegations. The city has asked a judge to dismiss portions of the lawsuit, claiming the officers haven't begun to prove a case either for quotas or racial discrimination. We will have much more on the story at 11, including what the cops say happens when they don't meet the numbers. Chuck?
Sure, thank you.
You know, folks, the NYPD, like any other organization, you know, you deal with everything in the world. You deal with the human element if you're dealing with humans, and I would hope that you are. You're not dealing with a pack of wolves or whatever. So when you deal with the human element, what that means is that you have your good and you have your bad. It's just going to always be that way. And especially when it comes to an organization as big as the NYPD, you have people that are in the upper echelon. And they're putting down rules, whether it's the commissioner, because the commissioner says, you know, bullshit, because he doesn't want to take any backlash for this. He probably knows what's going on, should it be going on. And listen, this is like 12 police officers that all came out and said this, so I'm inclined to believe them. And it's unfortunate, but that's what you deal with, you know. It's like, excuse me, it's like when you come encounter with, you know, when you encounter an officer, you know, if an officer stops you or something like that, it's always best to just be polite. You know, don't give the officer any reason, because once again, it's the human element. You don't know who you're dealing with, you know. I mean, just today they found that there were 4 upper echelon police officers. I mean, like deputy commissioner, captain, it was 4 of them, you know, that had really prestige positions in the police department of New York, and they busted them on corruption charges. These guys were getting trips to Las Vegas and South America. They, you know, they were getting money for casinos and they were just, you know, they were getting all these perks, you know, free baseball game tickets, you know, behind home plate and whatever, you know, in, of course, you know, the BATA is, we give you this, you give us that. And so these officers were one was making out these identification cards or whatever they were, so that people could park anywhere they wanted to and not get ticketed. You know, that was one of the parts of the trade. So, you know, my faith in the police department doesn't fade. You're going to always have good and bad. It's just nature. It's just society. It's just the way things are. You know, it's the human element. You know? So anyway, I'm going to give my shout-outs to the NYPD, the FDNY, North Shore Animal League, the ASPCA, my brothers and sisters in the military, Alamada Front End Deutschland, Wildlife SOS, and Guardians of the Voiceless, and all you guys, you know, show your soft side, pet pardons. And everyone that listens to me. I might be back. I might not. What's up then, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Dayon. This is my friend Tawa Kwan. Got a little something for ya. Yeah. Sit back and relax. Enjoy. Man, look at all that silver. You checking this out? Hands in the air. I get ready to get down. That's right. Look at all that silver. It's a silver. Look at all that silver. Gotta go. Got the silver in the pockets. My pockets are heavy. I need the money. Pawn shop, here I come.
And now to the investigation into that fatal Amtrak derailment near Philadelphia. A train colliding with the backhoe on the tracks, killing two and injuring dozens of others. In these dramatic photos taken by a physician on board, you can see inside that mangled car. ABC's David Curley is in Trainer, Pennsylvania, with all of the latest on that. Good morning to you, David.
Morning, Amy. The train has been removed, but you can see those tents behind me along the tracks. That's where the investigators from the NTSB and Amtrak are working this morning. Still the question, how does a train and a heavy piece of equipment end up on the same rail lines?
All EMS units working the train accident.
The head-on crash left two dead and the Amtrak engine's front wheels off the rails.
The whole train was shaking like it was going to fall apart.
Parts of the cars did, as these photos show debris from the collision ripping through the front cars of Train 89.
And all you could see was a lot of dirt and debris flying past the train, and then there was a couple of sort of like fire flashes.
Passengers who could scrambled to safety, but more than 30 were injured. A doctor was in that first car and sprung into action.
You take a deep breath, you mutter a little prayer saying, I hope to God that I can handle whatever it is that comes my way, and you dig right in.
The mystery this morning, how could this happen? A backhoe like this, used for track maintenance, on the same tracks as the southbound train, which could have been traveling up to 100 miles an hour. The Amtrak operator of that machinery and his supervisor were the two who were killed.
As part of our investigation, we will be looking at the track structure and the work that was performed at the time of the accident.
While more than 30 passengers and the engineer were taken to the hospital, most of the 331 passengers were able to walk away from the debris.
The NTSB will be looking at the signals and dispatchers. But George, one of the questions is, you remember after the derailment last May, north of Philadelphia, they put in positive train control. Why didn't that stop this accident from happening yesterday, George?
One of just many questions. Okay, David, thanks very much.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you. If only to just prove once and for all that I am not Questlove. Glad we got that straight. Hi, New York, you're a tough city. Oh, I don't mean that as a compliment. It's more like, hey, calm down. Remember, ice cream does exist. You could have it anytime you like. And if it's a really tough day, it is completely legal for you to just kiss a puppy on its butt. I do like your summers here in New York. It's beautiful. I love the summer. I'm a summertime boy. It's my favorite time to just relax, smoke a little pot. That's my summer thing. It's also my winter thing. And it's creeping in on fall. But I'm often a very stressed out person. I have a lot of anxiety. I know I seem pretty relaxed, but I'm actually a volcano that could murder you all. But I've been relaxing more. I've been trying to meditate. I've been working on my dream board, just writing out my hopes and dreams. Why is that funny to you? I think it's brave of me. Take my hopes and dreams out of the atmosphere, write them down. Say, this is what I want, universe, bring it to me. That's brave. I did find out that most of my dreams are just to own a Tempur-Pedic mattress. I just don't handle stress well. It could be little things, like dealing with cops. or going to the DMV or seeing identical twins when you did not expect to see. That's terrifying. Why do we live with that? We're supposed to be snowflakes. But every now and then there's a direct copy of one of us, and we don't stab it in the skull. That's what you do with demons and doppelgangers. Okay, I'm willing to admit that's a strong stance on twins. But weird things always bother me. Like, why do I always have to prove to a robot that I'm not a robot? Why do you care? Who put you up to this, robot? And how do you want me to prove it? With a CAPTCHA? By entering in a series of random letters and numbers into my computer? That sounds like something a robot would be pretty good at. I don't go up to my toaster and be like, hey, prove to me you not my friend Craig right now. You looking a little Craig-like to me. Even acting like Craig. Turning my bread into toast. That's one of Craig's favorite things. Oh, that is you, Craig? Sorry I put that bread in you, dog. Thank you very much.
Good morning. Welcome back to Breakfast Television 745. Thanks for starting your day with us. Lana Hughes from the Winnipeg Humane Society joining us with Cuddles here, who looks like she wants to do anything but right
this
now.
This is Cuddles,
very
yeah.
exciting environment, though. Tell us a little bit about her, first of all. She's up for adoption?
Yeah, she's up for adoption at the Winnipeg Humane Society. She's just over 8 years old.
She's a big girl.
She's a big girl. She's been with us just under a month, so she's looking for a nice home.
So was she surrendered to you? Or
yeah, she surrendered to us. Okay. I think it was just her owner wasn't able to take care of her anymore, Aww. So now she's looking for a new home, but she's a really sweet girl. She's
Cuddles.
Really roly-poly and cuddly, as her name might suggest, and she's yeah. actually declawed.
Which is what we're going to talk about today, because yeah. the Winnipeg Humane Society is strongly against that.
That's right. Declawing is a very painful surgery for cats. Not only is the surgery painful, but the recovery process is quite painful.
Because you're saying when they actually do it, they're removing a joint in their foot?
Yeah, it's almost the equivalent of removing the first joint in a human finger. So it's very painful for the cats, and it actually takes away their natural defense system, so it can be quite stressful for them as well.
So it can lead to a number of issues. Yeah. Physically, the way in which they walk or carry themselves could change?
That's right. They might start to put the weight on their hindquarters instead of their front quarters, which could cause arthritis issues, joint and hip issues along the road. So it's just bad news all around.
And you mentioned the stressed and anxious, and that's because you're taking away their main defense mechanism.
That's right. And it's also a release for them. So when a cat wakes up from a nice long nap, they like to stretch out, get those claws out, and it feels really good for them. So when they don't have the claws, that can really bother them.
And it can also change the way they use their litter box?
That's true, yeah. Sometimes they have the association of the claws going in the litter, and if that's painful for them, they might stop using the litter box, so they'll start using your house as a litter box, which is never a good idea.
No, not at all. Okay, so the Winnipeg Humane Society does not support decline at all, and you had said that there was a vet in Brandon that actually said they will not do it anymore.
Yeah, I believe they're the first vet clinic in Manitoba to outright say they are not doing declawing surgeries anymore.
That's great. Because there are so many options out there, and you brought just a few for us here. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with the scratching posts.
This one here.
Yeah, the thing with scratching posts is it's not really a one-size-fits-all kind of thing. As we all know, cats all have their distinct personalities and quirks, so you want to observe where the cat is scratching in your home, what kind of furniture they like to scratch, and you can mimic the texture and the shape with different kinds of scratching posts. So this one's more of a carpet style. This one has a cardboard feel, which is nice in their nails.
And this one you can actually entice. There's a little bit of catnip, so you sprinkle it on there, and then they'll be a little bit more drawn to that.
So if the cat is not too keen on using the scratching post right away, you can sprinkle some catnip or maybe give them some treats to encourage them to start using it.
Excellent. And then there's always the caps, which we've seen before. These ones here that actually kind of just slide over top of the nails?
Yeah, you can put them over the nails. They last about 6 weeks or so, and that way they still have their claws. They're still able to stretch out, but without doing any damage to your furniture or to you.
Now with these though, we don't support cats being outside. They should not be roaming outside.
That's right, yeah.
But this can actually, these are not ideal for outdoor cats.
No, because when they are outdoors, you want to make sure they have their nails just because it is that defense mechanism for them.
That's all they have.
Yeah.
So great option for indoor cats though, and like Miss Cuddles here, who's looking for a home. You can find her at the Winnipeg Humane Society, 45 Hurstway. Thank you so much, Lena.
Thank you.
Right now we'll check in with Fiona filling in for Jenna.